Amen. That was a blessing to sing those hymns. I felt like we were had that rare opportunity to sing both a praise song and a prayer at the same time. I'm not sure how hymn writers do those things. I don't think I could ever do that, but somehow they sort of combine both of those elements at the same time. Did you notice that? That's a blessing. Amen. Well, why don't we rise and stand to our feet, and we'll begin with a little word of prayer here this evening. Yes, Father, we do want to be Christians. We do want to bear that name. But most of all, we want to give praise and honor and glory to You. We love You, Father. We thank You with all of our hearts today for Jesus. We thank You for the Christian life. We thank You for salvation. We thank You for not only freedom from sin, but a life that we can live above sin with You, with the Holy Spirit and Your Word, helping us each day, and brothers and sisters to love and encourage us along the way. Thank You, Father. As we come here tonight, we just pray, anoint Thy Word, send Your Spirit. Help us, Father, as we pause here in the middle of the week to teach, to learn, to grow, to be edified as saints, as part of the body of Christ here at Ephrata Christian Fellowship. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. All right. Lord willing, we'll have a teaching tonight, and then it'll take tonight and next week. The teaching is going to be focused on 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll be looking at a number of principles having to do with the sisters' head veiling. But as you're going to learn, as we look at the covering, that behind the covering, and really what this passage is about, is a lot of very, very important principles in the Christian life, and that it flows together with the rest of Corinthians and with the rest of what some very important principles that God would have us to learn and to practice in the Christian life. So I think we'll begin by, well, let me give you just a little bit of order. Tonight, I'm going to have read the passage, have a brief introduction, and then we'll have a testimony from Brother David and Sister Sherry on their journey, I guess you might say, or their testimony and how they came to see the Scriptures and the head covering. Coming from a non-Anabaptist or non-plain background, the journey is somewhat different from some of you who are wearing a head covering tonight, who come from an Anabaptist or plain background. It's quite a bit different, and yet I believe there's elements that we can all learn from and elements that you need to hear as well tonight. So I'll give an introduction here for a little bit, then I'll come back up and finish the teaching for what we have for tonight, and then we'll pick it up next week. And then next week we'll be looking at some and trying to answer some questions. Who should wear the covering? What is a covering? What is the long hair? What the long hair isn't? Some of those questions, and some trying to answer also some objections to the covering. We live in a day, yes, thanks, where there's lots of objections and lots of questions about the covering. And so we'll try to deal with some of those practical questions and issues. Why don't you just kind of over in here, thanks. So we'll try to do that next week. So today we'll be laying a little bit of groundwork for some of those things, and then we'll get into some of those next week. And I guess I would like to say for tonight, the way I'm going to even try to go through the principles, though, is to open it up for asking you some questions and getting some of your input, even on the principles that we're going to go through. Even though I'll be doing a bit of teaching, I'm still going to try to get the input from some of you, and the markers are probably behind the thing there, to help us all get involved and in thinking about this topic here a little bit tonight. Why don't we begin by reading these 16 verses here, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I think I'll just read it and you follow along tonight in your Bibles there, just to set a little groundwork for what we'll be doing. Verse 1, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, forasmuch as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head, because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. All right, now as we look at this here, just a few opening comments concerning this topic a little bit. I guess I would like to say we need to remind ourselves as we look at a topic like this a little bit that we do love God's Word. Amen? And there's a temptation in some hearts to think, well, you know, do we really have to look at that kind of subject? And I guess it was just good to remind ourselves, though there are passages in the Bible, there are truths that are major truths. There are truths that might be considered somewhat less major or even minor, but they're still all truths, right? And though some truths, like the gospel, are obviously incredibly important, yet I don't think we can say that anything in the Bible is unimportant, can we? And so we, without reservation and without hesitation, but just with some of that understanding, still feel confident to approach a subject like this. And I think as was mentioned, I believe Sunday, this is the first time, for whatever reason, since we've begun meeting as Effort of Christian Fellowship. It was actually May, 6 years ago. Was it this weekend or last weekend, Mose? I forget. Second weekend, 2 weekends ago, 6 years ago, that we began. We haven't had a teaching on this subject, and so I guess I could say it's time and it's overdue. So I just encourage you to sit up and gird the loins of your mind as you walk through this with me. And I would also like to say as we begin that there has been a serious apostasy from the Word of God on this particular subject. Can we all agree with that? Do you know what I mean by apostasy? Apostasy means I used to know the truth. I used to understand it. I even used to walk in it. But I just turned away and left it. And either ignore it, pretend it's not there, or even some say it's no longer for our day. It's not true. And so we live in a day of apostasy. And this is one of those passages that has been in apostasy in America for maybe not 100 years, but it's starting to push it. You know, it's been just enough generations, 3 generations now, maybe 3.5, that there's not very many people alive anymore who remember that there was a day, even less than 100 years ago, when every woman was covered in America, especially when she went to church, and many other times as well. But we're of that generation. We're almost forgetting that because it's been just long enough that we don't see those things anymore. And so we just need to remember the reason that we look at subjects like this is if we don't understand the Word of God and have the principles in our mind and in our heart and in our beliefs, our practices will follow that lack of understanding. And pretty soon the practice goes, and when the practice goes, the principles goes and the teaching goes, and it just, there's a great silence in the land on this subject and other subjects like this, but in this one in particular. All right, let's go back here for just a minute here and look at the first two verses as part of the introduction here. Then we'll have Brother David and Sister Sherry share. Just want to set the tone here a little bit as Paul does. He says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Paul is starting this chapter. He knows this is going to be one of those subjects that even then is probably, okay, how do I work myself through this? And he begins off by reminding them, everything we do is in Christ and because of Christ, even ordinances. And so he reminds us of that. And he says, "Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things." So who is Paul addressing? Is he writing a letter to the sisters about the head covering? Who is he writing the letter to? The brothers. Why? Why do you think Paul's doing that? Why to the brothers? Is this a sister problem? Why to the brothers? Somebody raise your hand. Yeah. That's right. Because the headship order. In other words, if he doesn't understand it, how's he going to teach it to his wife and get it right? You know, so we'd like to kind of say on a subject like this, well, the women aren't wearing head covering. But you know what God would say? Well, the men aren't doing right. It actually has way less to do with this side of the room and way more to do with this side of the room. So we just need to kind of just go ahead and settle that in our heart. Because when you bring up a subject like this, immediately everybody starts looking over to that side of the room and wondering, well, you know, how are they taking this? Well, I'm going to ask you, how are you going to take it? Because that's what God is asking, I believe. I believe the weight of this, and I'm not letting the sisters off the hook, but the weight of it before God, I believe, falls upon us. And so we need to just settle that in our mind and in our heart. He also here urges them to keep. Notice this, he says, and keep the ordinances. If you look up that word phrase, keep, if you look it up in the Greek, it also is the same phrase translated sometimes in the New Testament as hold fast. Like hold fast your profession till the end. It's an idea of getting a hold of something in a spiritual way, deep within your heart, in such a way that you will not let go of it. Because he knows there's going to be a temptation here on this one to let her slip. And it has. It has slipped. But he's urging them right up front. It's like he can see by the Spirit of God. Of course, you know, the Spirit of God's at work here. Can see down into our day and saying, hold fast. Keep pressing on. It's not going to be popular. You're going to be laughed at. You're going to be misunderstood. They're going to think it has something to do with just putting something on your head, when really there's a lot at stake here, a lot of spiritual issues that have go way beyond just an article of clothing that happens to wind up on a woman's head. That is not the issue. There are many, many, many issues here, but it's not a clothing issue. Okay. So those things are important that we see that. Hold fast. This speaks of an idea of commitment. And I guess I would just say to us tonight, I know we'd all like to think that we are committed to the Word of God. And I believe we are. I do believe that. And I just want to encourage us in that, because we live in a day where it's not normal to be committed to the Word of God. You know, people are committed to a lot of things in our day, aren't they? They're committed to losing weight. They're committed to, you know, their football team, or they have all these things that people get passionately loyal about, and they spend money on and time on and all those things. But God is, this keep fast, or this hold fast, is a phrase of deep and passionate not letting go. A truth that we will not let go. And I hope that as we study this, one of the things that's going to help you hold on to this is that you will see it as what it is, something spiritual and something precious. You know, if you don't love something, if you don't see something as precious and important, it's hard to kind of get excited about it, isn't it? You know, we just kind of just think, well, yeah, that's just one of those things. But if we can see it as God's heart, and see the principles behind it and see it as something precious and spiritual, I believe we're much more likely to hold fast or keep it. The other thing I'd like to do here as part of the introduction is go back to the very beginning of Corinthians. It's been a long time since we read 1 Corinthians chapter 1. About 4 years ago, we walked through the whole two books of Corinthians. I kind of miss Corinthians, but anyway, maybe that's just me. I enjoyed that. But I want to read a few verses here at the beginning that Paul, as he introduces this whole book, and this introduction applies as much to chapter 11 as chapter 1 because it's just the introduction to the letter. Paul didn't divide his Corinthians up into chapters like we do it. We kind of got it all hacked up. He just wrote this and then sent it to the church. So let's remember what he says here. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Now, this is what's important. Watch this. This is who this letter is to. And again, think chapter 11, what we just read there. Called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So, with that kind of introduction, some people like to say, well, chapter 11, that was just for the Corinthians back then. But the letter to the Corinthians says what? Who's the letter to? To all who do what? Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that's where we're at tonight, isn't it? We all call upon the name. We've all seen ourselves as lost and wretched and undone and having no other hope but to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is who we are, is it not? And so because that's who we are, then this is for you. Paul is telling you, I'm going to write to those of you who see yourself like that and who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so with that, I think we can see this is why we need to look at this chapter and lift it up from time to time so that we would have these principles in our heart so that we can teach them to our children and our children's children and so on. Okay, I think I'll stop there with the introduction before I get into the principles, Brother David, if you're ready to maybe share a little bit of your testimony there.
Yeah, well, this was an interesting procedure for Sherry and I to go back and try to resurrect memories of what all went on in our lives over the last 15 years, or more actually. Probably more than that, 13 years. To begin with, as the Lord started working in my heart as a young man, I held a conviction over the long hair issue since I can remember. I don't know how long, but since I began thinking of what a family should be and having those kind of thoughts as to how I was going to have my home, which is about probably back age of 12, 13, somewhere in that age, my wife was going to have long hair way back then. I came from a background that had totally disregarded that, came from a home that did not practice that, and as I read the scriptures, I liked what God had written there. So I had convictions concerning long hair. All my daughters had long hair because of it. And my wife told me just tonight that that was the first time she knew that it was a biblical conviction, which manifests that in our marriage that has not always been the best of communication. You know, as we walked through a lot of those years of convictions and developing here, I was not a good communicator with my wife. I would not recommend my methods of enforcement in our homes, in our home. But nevertheless, there was a journey, and we are standing here tonight and very thankful for it.
Well, the Lord was very good to us, and when Dar was 4 years old, he introduced to us Rod and Staff school books. And so I got these Mennonite Rod and Staff school books in my hands, and of course I was a very worldly Christian, if there can be one, just trying to understand my Bible. And I got the book Olive. I don't know how many of you have the book Olive, but I was so excited about that I finally could find nice little stories for my girls that I could read to my girls. So I was excitingly buying all I could buy, and I got that book Olive and started reading it, and there was these women with their head coverings on. The first time I'd never even heard of a Mennonite in my life. That was my first introduction to a Mennonite, was these books. And we got to the part where Olive had to change her clothes because she was a foster girl in a new family. And I would look at those words, and I would skip them and not read them to my daughters, how she was supposed to not cut her hair and put on, you know, a dress. And my little girls always wondered why I skipped that part. And inside of me, I was just really just wrestling with that, you know, because I had been going to a Christian school in my growing up days, and I had read the Bible.
Well, we worked through the issue of modesty in dress next in our lives and made the unpopular changes that required in our wardrobe, and brought all the wrath of relatives and questions and misunderstandings, and women at the church stopped talking with my wife, and men started opening the door for her, and it was just a very, very uncomfortable process we were walking through in the little town of Arlington. And in my life, my prayer life was beginning I was exercising a daily prayer life, and I was reading my Bible and getting excited about doing what I read. And one of the days that I read, I read this verse in Corinthians 11. Now, I was at that time reading the New American Standard, but it reads very similar in the New American Standard, except that it doesn't read a man should not have his head covered. It said a man should not have something on his head. And to me that was significant, and I obeyed that. I viewed it that way, that a man should have nothing on his head as he was praying or prophesying. And I stepped forth out of my prayer room to obey that passage of Scripture one day.
Well, I was in the front room when my husband came out of his prayer room, and he handed me his Bible and put it on my lap, and he said, "Mom, I was just reading here in 1 Corinthians 11 and about the head covering, and I'd like you to read it and see what you think it means, and goodbye, I'm going to work," and gave me a kiss. Well, I read it, and you must understand, we were probably making a change once a week in going from, well, you know, everything, and I was wearing a dress then, and it was like, I can't believe this is the next step. You know, it wasn't like I was too shocked, because we were moving at a pretty rapid speed in everything we were doing. And I sat there and read that morning, and when he came home from work, I had a blue head covering on. Oh, in which I wore it to a roller skating party that night. And one of the church ladies said that I was very fashionable, and I could change the color to match my clothing, and it would be really convenient that way. I intended that when I first put it on that I'd wear it all the time, but soon got terrified. I knew no one else in the world besides my Mennonite Olive book and stuff that were head coverings. I'd never seen anyone with one on, and I was very afraid of what my family would say, and so I only wore it for prayer in the home.
We did have a lot of a struggle with the change to making a public scene of it. We tried to honor the Word of God, specifically that a woman should not have her head uncovered while praying or prophesying. And we wrestled through that whole subject of what that means, what is prophesying, when is it talking about, is it publicly or just in the church or private times of prophecy in a grocery store? Is it talking about private prayer, heartfelt prayer, or just public prayers or formal prayers? And we worked through all of that, and the net result was we did not want to wear it in public. And so we could not get away from the scriptural mandate that it was a disgrace in heaven for a woman to be uncovered and pray. And so I actually instituted with my daughters that in construction from the New American Standard's word something, if a man should not have something on his head, a woman should have something on her head. And so I had asked my daughters, well, if you're in a situation where you have to pray, at least put your hand on your head and cover your head. At least it says to the angels, I recognize I should have my head covered.
Oh, well, that was not so convenient because the girls and I were totally embarrassed, and we'd wait till everyone closed her eyes and quick put her hand on her head, and before the amen, we quick took her hand off her head, and if we did it, then Dad's big hand would boom on her head. So we finally, Pop and I decided we'd go to a prayer shawl, and we'd wear it around my shoulders, and then when we'd pray, I'd quick put it on and then take it back off.
That didn't serve very long to be convenient. My wife soon saw that was very, and actually it became more of a scene and very, very abnormal, even more than wearing a head covering, this kind of a self-made manifestation of what the scriptures were saying there. So we did at that time begin considering a head covering that the women would wear, my girls and my wife would wear all the time. And we wore the Western head bandana for a time, off and on. My wife did make like a white wide hair band. It was like a hair band, only it was about 6 inches wide. And we didn't feel comfortable with the bandanas because there wasn't a whole lot of difference between them and the motorcycle guys, because bandanas were becoming the in thing on the motorcycle gangs, and you had the motorcycle gangs going down the road with their hair flowing and their bandanas on, and we didn't think that was distinguishing enough to wear a bandana. And so we felt like we should do something that was distinctive and meant to the world, to the angels, and in our own experience that we believe in a head covering. We did not practice the covering of long hair at that time. We were weird enough as it was. We didn't see the covering of long hair as a modesty issue. We were just simply seeing the need to cover our head while we prayed and prophesied.
Well, then we moved here to PA. When we left Washington State, we were told that we were very conservative, that we needed to somehow loosen up and drop some convictions, and there was no one as weird as we were in the whole entire world. And we moved here to PA, and we found out that we were very liberal, and we needed to tighten up our practices. And we were very far off on the other end, and we sat down very confused. It was at that time that the other people from the same type of background within the first couple weeks introduced me, it's actually the scarf I'm wearing now, to a longer white scarf that would suit more. And so I think within the first month or so, we made our order in and got some white scarves, still wearing our hair down, I think we wore for the first 3 years we were here at Charity, our hair down with a white head covering on. I'm so sorry if it caused offense.
Yeah, that was an issue in our lives that required a lot of patience and forbearance. I remember, I don't know if it was you, Mose, or who it was that asked my wife not to sit in the front bench. You know, she was just sitting up there so earnest and interested, but there she was with her hair all flowing and not a very good representation of what we were wanting to stand for at Charity Christian Fellowship. It was years later, like Sherry said, that we began to see that the hair was a modesty issue separate from the prayer issue. And that in deference to the brothers, we began to practice putting the hair up and covering the hair. And as we began to follow the Lord and yield ourselves to that, we begin to understand it more and more in light of the practice of covering hair for the issue of modesty. And we're still learning.
Amen. Thank you. Isn't that helpful? Kind of hear how we sort of find our way through these things. And I think it reminds us that we do need patience with those that are on their way or on the journey or however we say that thing. And yet, I think what we saw in David and Sherry was, even though we exercised a little bit of patience, we saw that they were earnest and serious and contemplating those things. And so I would say, sister, it was easy to give you grace because we knew the desire of your heart. So you're forgiven in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's look at now some of these principles will help us with some building blocks here. First principle is the principle of symbolism. Symbolism. What is a symbol? What is a symbol? John? Something that identifies something. Anything else? Something that represents something else. For example, if I were to say, draw a picture of a symbol of a lion, what would that symbolically represent to some of you? Strength, power. Okay. What about a lamb? Meekness. Okay, so there are certain sort of symbols or things that when we see them, we just sort of understand that is a sign or an ensign or a representation that has more meaning than just the thing you're looking at, right? That there's other things going on behind it. Is when we take communion, is the bread and the wine a symbol? Or is it the literal body of Jesus Christ, as the Catholics would teach? It is a symbol. When we go to the creek, to the baptismal waters, and we read, as I think David or maybe it was Dean did the last time from Romans chapter 6, I believe. I think it was David maybe, or maybe the time before last, and talked about symbolically dying and going under the baptismal waters and dying a death, and then also coming up out of the baptismal waters to a new life, is that symbolic? Or did that person really, did we drown them? Did they die under those waters? Was that what he was preaching? No. But symbolically, we all knew they are saying, I am dead to my old life. I do want to die to it. I am alive to Christ, and I do willingly allow myself to symbolically die. Now, when we take the bread and the wine and when we get baptized, is it just all symbolism in our head and has no meaning? Or is there some... Does it mean something to you to take communion? I guess what I would say. Does it mean something to you to get baptized? So symbols are more than just something that represents something. They can also have meaning and even power in our lives, can't they? Now, not that the baptism on its own is powerful, but it's what it represents, it stands for. When you hear those words out of the Scripture and you understand them, and by faith believe, I am entering into this with Jesus Christ, symbolically, yet there's a spiritual reality to that symbolism that is alive in our hearts, right? And so would we say symbols are therefore very important in the Christian life? When two of our most fundamental practices of having communion and baptism are really basically, may I say, not irreverently, nothing but symbols, in a way. To the outward person who doesn't understand the spiritual reality, they're just going, well, they're just eating bread and wine. I mean, I don't get it. It's just, what does that mean? Well, we know it's a symbol, but we know that behind the symbol, there's many principles, many truths, many spiritual realities, which are deep in our hearts and in our minds, right? So symbols in the... For example, is it okay if we were to have communion here next week, if I would serve Dr. Pepper, and I'm not trying to be irreverent, I'm just trying to make a point, Dr. Pepper and Fritos for communion, would that be okay? Is that all right? Okay, so in other words, it's not just the symbol, but it's even what we do for the symbol, isn't it? In other words, symbols get pretty specific. Because after all, I mean, whether you eat Fritos and Dr. Pepper, what's the big deal? You're just eating, right? Now, it is a big deal, isn't it? The symbol is important, is what I'm saying. Or instead of baptizing in water, what if we just said, well, let's mix a little flour and salt and just kind of dust it on their head and say, I'm baptizing you with flour and water, or with salt. Would that be okay with you if we started practicing that? No, you'd say, that's wrong, Rick. And I'd say, well, it's just a symbol. But in reality, you know in your heart, symbols are important, aren't they? They do mean something. And so, the head cover. It's a symbol, right? It stands for other things, the head covering that the sisters are wearing. But is there something more behind it, or is it just a symbol and a piece of cloth? And I think we'll find as we look at it that the principle of symbols is something that is very important in the Christian faith, as we've seen in two of the most fundamental practices we do, two of the most important practices we do, the communion and the baptism. So this symbol also has many truths and principles that go beyond just the thing itself. And just like we wouldn't substitute Dr. Pepper and Fritos for that, is it okay to just do any kind of covering, or are there coverings which are better? And we'll get into that later. I'm just sort of whetting your thinking a little bit here. But in other words, symbols are important is all I'm trying to bring up here. Symbols are important. They are types. They are emblems that do stand for something. We do believe, I would like to say though, just as in communion and in baptism, we desire the inward reality for baptism. We don't believe just because somebody gets baptized that there's a great spiritual thing that's happened. A lot of people have gone in the waters, sadly, and all they've done is gotten wet. They participated in simply a symbolic thing. So the symbol alone, on its own, is not the issue. And I'm not trying to make an issue out of the covering on its own. We do want the sisters, but more than the sisters, may I say, as we started out tonight, we do want you brothers to have the understanding of the inner reality and what this means and what's going on in our hearts, in the church, as a witness to the world and as a witness to heaven with the covering, so that it won't just be, well, as we were told when we first started wearing them, hearing Sister Sherry reminds me of some of the things we were told. I think one of the first times my wife wore it, somebody actually said, why are you wearing a rag on your head? Remember that? They actually used the word, why is there a rag on your head? And I don't say that irreverently here, but just to let you know, there is just that's how apostate America is. You know, this is in the Bible Belt in the South, this was said. And not by somebody actually, they weren't actually trying to be mean. They were just, oh, you're wearing a rag on your head. Does that mean something? And so the answer is, it does mean something. And it's not just something on your head. So the principle of symbolism is one we just need to lay to rest, because some people say, well, since it's just a symbol, I've heard this objection. Since it's just a symbol, symbols aren't a big deal. We're after the inward. You know, Christianity should be all just in the heart.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. If you would like to listen to part two of this message, please press 8 now. You may leave us a message by pressing 9-9. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 8-8. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 7-7. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.